You have, mashallah, at any given time during the course of the month of Ramadan, we have at least a half a dozen people who are making the i'tikaf for the entire 10 days without leaving the masjid. They're inside the masjid for 10 days. They leave everything behind. Right? They leave everything behind. And just again, planning. I met a brother on Friday night. He goes, Imam Tahir, I'll see you in the month of Ramadan. MashaAllah, he's been making i'tikaf here for the last 2-3 years. Now, you know, we just maybe a little sidetrack. At our masjid, we've got wireless, like many other places on the earth. And we leave our wireless networks on. So if people, you know, some people really cannot make i'tikaf if they're not able to do certain things, right? And if they're able, some people can, the way nowadays, people are able to work, some people can actually work as long as they're logged onto the internet. And so we leave our networks open, say, you know what, okay, come to the masjid, do your i'tikaf, and if you need to log on for a few hours a day and do whatever you need to, do it. But, you know, just don't be outside with your computers and laptops. So we got an email a few days ago that someone told us that we should turn off the wireless networks, so, you know, don't bring your laptops to the masjid. Which, of course, is a great idea, but I fear that, you know, a lot of individuals who are able to do i'tikaf may not be able to do so. So there's no harm in doing that. In fact, just for the record, it is not permissible to eat food inside a masjid. On any given day, it's not permissible to eat food inside a masjid. According to some scholars, the only person that can eat food inside a masjid is one who is in i'tikaf. That's why I have come across people, I've come across scholars who, if given food inside the masjid while they're sitting inside the prayer area, on any given day, they will first make the intention of a nafl, of a voluntary i'tikaf, and then eat. Because the mu'takif is the only one that has the permission to eat inside the masjid. And just for the record, the mu'takif has the permissibility to do worldly transactions inside the masjid as well. It's preferable not to, but has the availability of doing the transaction inside the masjid. Of course, the rules of i'tikaf are very, very technical, and we're not going to get into those right now. You can do everything inside the masjid. Many people make i'tikaf, of course, and this is probably not the case in the United States, but many people make i'tikaf inside masajid where you don't have Salatul Jumu'ah, right? Because that's their local masjid. So they have permission to go to the closest masjid to make Salatul Jumu'ah. But they're not allowed to talk on the way there and so on and so forth. So of course you can go to sleep and whatnot. Women. For women, i'tikaf is not allowed inside the masjid. For women, i'tikaf is done inside their homes. And they will have an area inside their homes that they designate, which is their area of i'tikaf. So women can also make nafl i'tikaf for a few hours, where you seclude yourself to a certain bedroom or to the corner of a certain room where you make i'tikaf and make dua, recite your Quran and do your salah. Or if you want to make i'tikaf for the entire 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, and many sisters do so, mashallah, they will designate an area inside their home, whichever area, and that will be their area of i'tikaf. And women are able to do whatever else they need to do in terms of household chores while they are in the state of i'tikaf. But of course, the idea is that you would leave your... So for example, you have a certain bedroom or the corner of a certain bedroom where you are making your i'tikaf. Yes, you can sleep on a bed, which is your area of i'tikaf. And if that's your area, then if you need to cook or do whatever it is that you need to, you would go there just for as long as it takes to do that and immediately come back. For as long as it takes to do that, and then immediately come back to that area. So there's... And of course, whatever else you need to do in terms of fulfilling your necessities, you can go ahead and do that. So it's very interesting how it mentions, actually, when I was doing some research earlier today, both in terms of for men and women, what's allowed. For men, it says acts that are permissible, sewing or washing clothes. And for women, it says here, it is permissible to knit and sew, etc. Which means that you can do worldly things while you are in the state of i'tikaf. It's not preferable to do so, but if that's what needs to be done, then there's no harm in doing so. But even while you're doing that, the idea is that with your tongue, you are making tasbih or you're reciting the Qur'an. I did mention, so the nights of Qadr are the odd nights of the month of Ramadan. We should endeavor to ensure that we pray our salat in congregation. And of course, as I reminded earlier, you should endeavor to give your zakat al-fitr, your sadaqat al-fitr, before Eid, before Salat, not before Salat al-Eid per se, but before the day of Eid. Also, I received a question earlier today. An individual, you know, people usually give their zakah in the month of Ramadan. In terms of zakah, I know people have a lot of questions and we won't get into all of them, but there's a few things I'd like to mention. First of all, if you want, your year end, when you calculate your zakah, you can make, instead of it being a year in terms of, say, for example, September 1st or October 1st, it could be the 1st of Ramadan. Right? It could be a lunar year. So you could calculate it every lunar year as well. It's not like the day before you're going to do all your calculations, you start writing checks and, you know, get away with all your money so that you don't have much money in your bank accounts. You shouldn't do that either. The more you give, the better it is. But of course, you should calculate. But you can use the month of Ramadan is a great time to give your zakah. On the note of zakah, there's two things that I'd like to mention. First of all, you can calculate your zakah. It should be given away as soon as possible, but it does not need to be given away immediately. So for example, a person does his or her calculations and say, you have to pay $1,000 this year in zakah. You can take that $1,000 out of your banking account or your savings account or wherever it's sitting and keep it in a certain place, and you can distribute that over the course of the next few months or the next year. It's permissible to do that. Also, let's just say that you don't have any zakah money left, and someone comes to you, say, you do your calculations in the month of Ramadan, and 3 months before Ramadan, someone comes to you and says, so-and-so is in need, and they need some money, and they are eligible to receive zakah. So you ask yourself, and you say, well, I don't have any left, what can you do? You can give zakah in advance as well, as long as you make the intention. The intention must be made. So it's not like you give someone $200 and then all of a sudden you start thinking, oh, you know, I can actually convert that into my zakah and say, okay, I'm going to count that towards my zakah. Nope, doesn't work. The intention needs to be made first. You have to make the intention first. So you have to make the intention that, okay, I'm giving this $200 and I'm giving this towards this coming year's zakah. I'm giving another $300, I'm giving this towards this year's zakah. In the month of Ramadan, you do your calculations, you have to give $1,500, you've already given $500, you have another $1,000 to give. It's always preferable to give to your relatives. When you give to your needy relatives, the reward is doubled. You get the reward of giving, and you get the reward of having mercy and building relations with your relations. So it's always preferable to give to your relatives. It's also preferable to give where you live, right? In your neck of the woods. It's also preferable to give where you live. There's a lot of organizations, alhamdulillah, that collect zakah for different parts of the world, and there are many people in various different needs in different parts of the world. But I find that in the United States, they're opening up a zakah organization is a great way of making money. Okay, it's a business. For many individuals out there who run these organizations, and I won't mention a single one, it's a family business. Okay, if you look at the administration, and they have really nice colorful flyers, big emails, big flyers, and you look at everything and it feels like this professional organization, and they are. And they are distributing your money. But they're using 20% of the money that you give to them towards their personal costs. Now it's permissible for them to take that as well. I'm not saying it's not, but there's no accountability. That's why half of the flyers that sit inside the masjid, in all honesty, I'm not comfortable giving to them. Why? Because they're taking away 20% of what I'm giving to them. You know, there's one family out there, Bright Brother, who is very business-minded, who realized this is a great way of making money. You know, you put your flyers all across the masjid in America, and you'll be making tons of money. So whichever organization you choose to give to, be conscious about it. Generally, I like the idea of giving to your local masjids because the masajid does not use your zakah towards in most masjids. Most masjids will not use your zakah towards their expenses or whatnot. They will. Your 100, for example, at our masjid here, 100% of your zakah goes to the needy. 100% of your zakah goes to the local needy. Right? Our funds at this masjid, as a rule, when we collect our zakah, does not go outside the country. It's taken from the local people and given to the local people. Unless otherwise, it's a specified cause on a certain day will tell you that if you donate towards a certain project today, your zakah, and it's going to go to a certain place. But if generally you send in a check to the masjid and it says zakah on it, it comes to the masjid. And that if you've given us $100, that 100 is going to the poor and needy. Right, the 100 is going to the poor and needy. We don't use those towards the expenses of the masajid. So you should be very conscious as to where you give your zakah. Right? You should be very, very conscious as to where you give your zakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and protect us. We're going to stop here, inshallah, today. Just for the record, this will be the last class. I do not have the time or the capacity to put in another class before we begin Ramadan. I was just in a meeting a few moments ago and someone reminded me that the first Taraweeh would be on Friday, may just be on Friday. And I just thought to myself, oh my God, that's like a few days away. So, you know, there's a lot of things I need to get done before Ramadan. The only thing, a lot of people know this, but the only thing I buy in the month of Ramadan is milk, eggs and bread. Everything else has already been purchased. So if you need to do your shopping, go now. Don't waste your time in the month of Ramadan shopping. If you need to buy your children Eid clothes, if you need to buy new shoes for Eid, if you need to buy new whatever for Eid, you have four more days to get it done. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and some of Friday. Go and do it now. Don't be wasting an hour in the mall one day before the month. Eid most probably will be on a Sunday. On Saturday, I don't want to see any Muslims at the mall. Seriously, if this was a Muslim country, I'd have like policemen out there. I'd have the mall shut down. So you don't want me to be the president, seriously. But I would, seriously, it's the last day of Ramadan. That's like your last few moments, right? Those are your last few moments. How could you be, and then you're spending an hour at the mall trying to, oh no, these look good, honey, do these look good? No, but these look better. No. You want to do all that, do that this week. Okay, take your husbands, go spend a few thousand dollars, do whatever you need to, but do it this week. Yeah, I don't care how much money you spend, it's your money. But do it this week. Don't do it in Ramadan, please, for the sake of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and protect us and ease our affairs. Amin. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.